Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Sports Cage Podcast is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse. With amazing specials on food and ice-cold beer, there's no better place to watch your favorite sports. Here's your host, Derek Taylor.
Wow. Did the framework of this show change in the last hour? My goodness. It's still DT, still Bob Krawchuk, still Zinger on the ones and twos. But trade deadline, well, it wasn't exactly a fiesta. There was one trade. Toronto Argonauts sending Zach Kolaros to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. In exchange, draft picks, la la la, Kolaros to the Bombers. So in a single season, he goes Saskatchewan, Toronto, Bombers. Three teams, three offensive plays so far. I'm a little bit afraid of this move as a Riders fan. I just am. You know me. I said it from the beginning of training camp. I am firmly on Kolaros Island. I am a little bit afraid of this move. Bob, your top line thoughts, Zach Kolaros to the Bombers.
Well, the Bombers needed something. They had to. They only had Streveler and McGuire in camp, so the fact that they didn't even have a third quarterback surprised me. But everybody's seen what Streveler is, and teams now, specifically Hamilton and the Riders, have now figured out exactly what you need to do to stop him. And if he is forced to throw, he cannot. And I do not believe that Winnipeg goes anywhere with him at quarterback. So they needed something to give him a chance. And we've talked about it, and the fact that, you know, Kyle Walters needed to do something to give this team, you know, some hope that, hey, you know, we're trying to win this thing. We're in it to win it.
Yeah.
And that helps them a lot today. I'm not concerned as much about it as you are, because that would mean the Riders and Bombers would have to play. I'm not necessarily convinced that's going to happen.
I'm afraid, because Winnipeg, in my mind, has taken a dramatic step forward at the quarterback. I'm with you on the Streveler wasn't going to do anything. Kolaros, with an innovative offensive coach, a solid running back, an offensive line that can protect, I still think there's a lot of juice left in Kolaros. There is a lot of juice left. And yes, I know his numbers have been steadily downhill since 2015, when he could have been the MOP of the CFL. I get it. Think of where he's played, what he's been going through, all that stuff. I think Winnipeg, they absolutely had to do this, right? They absolutely, whatever it was, they needed to get somebody with some sort of quarterback, with some sort of passing skill.
They were going to be one and done with Streveler. They're going to the playoffs, but with Streveler in there, they weren't going to get past the opening round, which I'm going to guess is in the West right now, though Edmonton is not that far back of them. But I would think Winnipeg will obviously stay in the West, probably end up finishing third. But I think they'd have been a one-and-done scenario. They needed to do something to give them some hope and at least another option.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, at some point now you can say, okay, I mean, how long is it going to take Zach to learn the offense? I don't know, but it probably shouldn't take him that long. That if Streveler just continues to go the way that he's going, that at least they can plug him in and give themselves a better chance.
4 weeks in the CFL season remaining. The Bombers have three games remaining. Yeah, will they have time? Will they get him in? You're certainly not getting him in particularly soon. They play Montreal on the weekend. They then have the Stamps the weekend after that. And then they have the bye in the final week, which, good for them, gives them an extra week to get ready for the playoffs, maybe get Zach ready for the playoff game. We're going to hear from Argos GM Pinball Clemens. He is the one who pulled the trigger on this deal. Came into the job yesterday. The next day is the trade deadline, and he's sending quarterbacks out. I had five quarterbacks at practice today. One of them's got to get out of here. What do we get? We can get potentially a first-round draft pick. Looking forward to that. So we'll hear from Pinball Clemens. We'll also go to Winnipeg with their play-by-play man, Bob Irving. He's been around there forever. How long is it reasonable to expect before Zach Kolaros can start? Or can Kolaros start? Is he strictly there as an insurance policy, be interesting to know exactly what Kyle Walters, Mike O'Shea are thinking. You got to do something because you can't, if Streveler can't run and he couldn't run against the Riders, that's what you've got. He's not a good passer of the football. And like I said, if Kolaris can play and Kolaris is ready to go, I think there are still things Kolaris does at a... there are things he does at an elite level. There are things he does at a very good level. He can at least be what Matt Nichols was if he had the appropriate amount of time.
I would go that he would be better than Matt Nichols.
Will he have the amount of time to get up to that level?
I don't see them rushing him in. I could see the scenario where maybe their last game against Calgary, if there is maybe a second or, you know, a higher seating on in line and things are going their way, that they might put him in. But I wouldn't expect to see him at the earliest. I would think they would allow them the next two games to go by.
Yeah.
And then maybe if there's something on the line, there probably will be the last time they play Calgary and things aren't going well, then maybe he gets in there just to at least get on the field because he hasn't been in equipment since June.
Yeah. Here's the way I would approach it. They own the season series with the Eskimos. So the Bombers need one more win. They're guaranteed to be in the playoffs. They'll be at 10. They're in that third spot, at least guaranteed. I would honestly want to just treat the rest of this season sort of like a training camp and go, you know what? Everything, I don't care if we win. I don't care if we lose. I just care that you don't get hurt and we are ready. We know we're going to be on the road. Regardless, we have to go through Saskatchewan and Calgary in some order. We're going to get you ready for that.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to rush him.
No.
They'll take their time with him for sure. They're certainly not going to put him in before he's ready. He's going to know, I would think, the whole offense, if not a good chunk of it, before they even contemplate that.
I would pare it down as much as I could to get him in there. This week, impossible. I honestly would pare it down to get him in there against Calgary the first time around. Just get in there and get some activity. It would be, I don't know what they're going to do. I'm a little afraid. If Kolaris can play, I'm a little more afraid than I was yesterday. I had the Riders in a two-lane comfort cruise right to the West Final. This gives me 12% more pause. Let's say that because, yeah, I still think there's a lot in Zach Kolaris that can be harnessed. Let's go now to the Western Pizza Hotline. And nice first day at work for the general manager of the Toronto Argos, Pinball Clemens, who joins us. Pinball, thank you so much for your time today.
Well, real pleasure, and great to speak with you.
All right. I'll ask you about the news of the day in a second, but this job, it kind of came out of the blue for some of us watching. How long ago had they expressed interest in, hey, Mike, would you come run football for us?
They had asked me earlier in the season, and I really was hoping that our team would turn around, and so I said, rather than that, let's do all we can to see if we can get this team to to turn things around and become a playoff team. Let's give them a chance. I explained that Jim Popp has done this a long time. He's an iconic guy in our league, and he deserves that opportunity, right? We had just had a Grey Cup 2 years ago, mm-hmm. and so it was my hope. This is not a job that I wanted. I've got enough work, it's also not a job. It's a passion. So I love this team. I love this country. I love this league. And so with that, after the decision was made to move on, then I decided to come on Monday night. Yes.
It sounds like you almost felt like it was your duty to a club you love. They need help, and I can help in this way. Is that in some way accurate?
Well, it would be way too presumptuous of me to suggest that I can help, that I am the guy. No, it's not like that. Yes, I am certainly willing, and my greatest strength is I understand how important I'm not. It really is about building strength around you, and so I I've often said that if you're the smartest guy in the room as a leader, it's your own fault, right? So my job is to get strength around us and around our team in every facet of what we do. So I took on the challenge to try to find people smarter than me.
Unfailingly modest. I love it. I love it. Pinball Clemons is the GM of the Toronto Argos. And you guys made a trade that has the potential to shake up the CFL today. Why the deal for Calaro sending him to Winnipeg?
Zach is really been working at getting better. And he actually saw I've got two daughters who had concussions, and I referred him to a lady, and shouldn't be talking about this, but who I really trust, who really did a great job with our daughters, and he had a good experience. He told me about a week ago. He says, I forgot how I felt when I felt good. I forgot what it felt like to feel good. And so that begs the question, then why trade him, right? I think he really needs to have a chance to have play games that matter. He needs that opportunity to be put in that position where he can play a game that matters, that, you know, and we get a draft choice for that. If he happens to do well there and stay there, then we get a number one in addition to that. But we do have a pretty good feeling that he wants to be in Ontario. So it's a little bit like a hired gun. We believe that and desire to sign him back. But you never know how things are going to go when they go out. But it also is an opportunity for us to see him, play live and be able to take contact and all of that again in a game that means something.
You touched on it, Pinball, that there was a report that Jim Popp had agreed to a one-year extension with Zach Collaros. Did you contemplate at all just not trading him at all and just getting, a deal done now instead of maybe risk that you might not be able to get him back next year?
Yeah, that was incredibly inviting. Just to take the deal that was already there, but part of this is Zach for himself, lovely young man, and just really enjoy him. He needs to see for himself that he can go out on that field and compete in a game that counts and means something. So before I finished the trade, I actually called him personally and asked him and say, if you don't want to go, right, and get this, then we'll keep you and look forward to trying to do a deal. And so we were just forthright and straight and honest with him, and I think he really wanted a chance to go out and see how things are, and then it gives everybody a greater purview of where he is and where he might be able to go.
Pinball, is it hard to trade a guy? You mentioned how much being in Ontario, being in the Toronto area means to Zach. Is it harder as a GM? I mean, you're new into the job. Is it harder to deal a guy who means or is connected to the city like that?
I did coach for a few years, and those decisions do come across the head coach's table as well. And this wouldn't have been a trade, right, if we were in week three, and we were building towards the season. This is a team that has a quarterback down. They're trying to fortify themselves for the playoffs, and we believe that not only did we get a draft choice, but we have a really good chance in the offseason of securing him back.
All right. Pinball Clemons, before we let you go, what does the rest of the season look like for you in this new role?
I think the biggest thing now is really trying to define where our strength is. I kind of compared it to someone being critical of you, right? If when someone's critical of you, the most important thing for me, I believe, to do is to make sure that you find the truth in that critique. Because many times when, you know, someone criticizes or says something, like we just immediately respond, you're like, it's just that negative response. When someone is critical, there's usually a little bit of lining of truth in that. And so we need to find that truth and hold on to that truth first and then build from there. So then what we want to do with the rest of it, throw it away, deposit it. But that's where we are as a team. Although we've struggled and we're 2-12, there's a lot of good that's out there on that field, right? So when we look at Cleon Lane, we think that he's one of the most dominant inside guys in our game. And so those are the kind of guys we're going to look at and build on. So the first thing is actually realizing finding the good and finding the strength and finding the building blocks that we're going to be working from. So then we'll start there and we'll continue to try to rebuild this team. And we love our league, and we believe that you in Saskatchewan give our league the greatest respect. So for that, my hat's off to you.
I'm just saying, if Kolaros goes to Winnipeg and causes the Riders problems in the playoffs, we're coming back for you, though, right?
I didn't think about that. Yes. So I have to tell you, I was thinking a little bit more selfishly. So hopefully you'll forgive me, because we've just got a longer road than you do.
Totally understandable. Pinball, one last one. Did you field any calls about Darrell Walker? That was the guy we were keeping our eyes on.
We did field calls from Darrell Walker, no, we didn't entertain anything. He is part of that base that we're building on, and he's not a guy like Zach that would be a guy that we would want to go and see and have play time or something like that. He is part of. He is part of what we talked about. Those are the guys that we're going to try to build around. We're real excited about what tomorrow can look like. And we understand we've got a little ways to go. And so we'll really admire you guys in the meantime.
Pinball, thank you for your time. Best of luck the rest of the season. I can't wait to see what you're able to do there in Toronto.
All right. Real pleasure, guys. Thank you so much, okay?
All right. Pinball Clemons, the new GM of the Toronto Argos, joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. 25% off your first online order at all participating Saskatchewan Western Pizzas. That's when you order online or on the app. Enter promo code 25OFF. We'll talk more about the trade next. Afternoon Rush. Linebacker Cam Judge will not play in Calgary Friday. Coach Craig Dickinson said they would have liked Judge to practice this week, but suffered a concussion against Winnipeg and was unable to. Bombers acquiring quarterback Zach Kolaros from the Argos. They swap draft picks, and if Kolaros re-signs, the Bombers will give up a first-round pick. But you heard Pinball Clemons say they're very much hoping to get Kolaros back. BC Lions have lost receiver Lamar Durant for the rest of the year. TSN Radio in Vancouver reporting it is a foot injury. He will be in the conversation for most outstanding Canadian. And in the baseball playoffs, mid-third inning, St. Louis 13, Atlanta no score. No score. It was 10-0 after one. Atlanta is done. From a text line, what do you think of Kolaros to the Bombers? Does it hurt the Riders' chances in the playoffs? 306-936-6262 is the text line. Out of town, 1-866-767-0620. Is the place to call. Tracy says Zach will not last the season. He is one big hit away from being done with football. And Wayne of Victoria is my favorite so far. Says, have to agree with Derek. I love it. That's all you got to say. Zach is better than Strebler, but can he stay healthy? I would definitely prefer to face the Bombers with Strebler than Kolaros. I think both you and
I would agree with that.
Agree with Wayne on that one. Yeah, it's an actual threat of. Strebler could be a real neat piece as a second quarterback, which he was under Nichols, right? But as a one.
But now that he starts playing a lot and everybody ever says, now we have the tape on him and they know exactly what he can and more specifically what he can't do.
Yeah.
And the last couple of games have shown that teams are now onto them and they can defend what Strever brings to the table. So Caleros clearly gives them the ability to open up their offense.
I just hope it doesn't come back to bite us all when it's done. One big number is next. The other side, it is Rich Sutter talking NHL. Wednesdays on the Cage are for Mako. If you've had an uh-oh and want to get it perfect again, better get Mako. One big number for this day is one. In his 2 years in the CFL, linebacker Micah Tights has one tackle on defense. We expect that to go up dramatically as he helps to fill in for the injured Cam Judge on Friday. Tights and the veteran Sam Hurl will rotate in at that weak side linebacker spot, putting a pair of University of Calgary grads in the spotlight against the Stampeders. Judge was having a career year in tackles, meaning there should be plenty for Tights and Hurl to do in the biggest game of the year thus far. One big number for Linex spray-on truck bed liners. Serious protection, killer looks. Visit Linex at 1865 McCarra Street or Google Regina Linex. Wednesdays at this time, we're connecting with Rich Sutter to talk a little NHL. Of course, he's a scout for the Columbus Blue Jackets and a favorite here on the Sports Cage. We'll continue with a little Zach Collaro's chat because y'all are alternatingly nice and super harsh.
And the gloves are off already.
Oh my goodness. Fred and Regina. Zach's a great guy. Good QB when healthy. The Bombers are going through exactly what Saskatchewan did in 2014. The Riders brought in Kerry Joseph through five picks. Nothing will come of this. He says of the Collaro's trade, it'll just be the 2014 Riders. Oiler fan 11 on Twitter. It's not right that his former teammates will be the one to end his career. Oh, that is
harsh squared.
That is absolutely harsh. But honestly, it's a concern with Collaros. And as a man who inhabits Collaros Island and is running for governor this winter, I try to avoid that part of it. But I mean, you can't look past the concussions. He feels like he's getting better. He'd been practicing with the Argos for a few weeks. Winnipeg obviously thinks he can contribute something. I honestly don't think you if there was zero chance he plays, there's no way the Bombers would pick him up because why even bother?
So they need insurance, though. They have to have insurance.
So they must be thinking that he can see the field, whether if necessary or we're going to have him see the field. They must think he can play if needed.
Well, he's well rested, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But you look at what happened, and that was the talk in the offseason. Well, you know, if Caleros can stay healthy, what could the Riders be?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he only lasted three offensive plays into the season. So based on what's transpired over the last three, 4 years, there is more than plenty of risk involved with him being able to stay healthy. But Winnipeg needed an insurance policy. They weren't going to get to where they wanted to go with Chris Trevler at quarterback. They needed somebody back there that was better than Sean McGuire that could at least give them a chance if A, Strebler continues down this road and people are on to him now, or that they go, we just have to get somebody else back in there that can give us a chance to win.
At what point did it become negligent of the Bombers to not get another quarterback?
I was shocked that after Matt Nichols said he was gone for the year, that they only had Strebler and McGuire around. They didn't have anybody on their practice roster. Like, have at least a third guy around that if someone gets hurt, specifically Strebler, that at least you've got somebody else in there learning your offense. I was shocked that they were only going around with two quarterbacks.
They obviously, from that, right, they're presumably a right-thinking front office. They obviously believe that Strebler was the man in case Nichols went down.
But if he gets hurt, well, then what do you do?
Well, then you just punt on the season because you have no chance anymore. Any team down to their third quarterback, like everybody's on their twos now, except for BC.
BC, which is still unbelievable.
Is that right? Calgary's
Mike
back.
Mike Riley is the only one. Well, no, Bo's back. But
Calgary's
Mike
back to their one. Edmonton's on their two. The Winnipeg, Saskatchewan. Ottawa's on their three. Toronto's on their, what was their two to start the season. Wow. Hamilton's on their two. Montreal's on their two. What a weird year it's been in the CFL, where we've been. And honestly, I never thought Strebler was a reasonable answer. I'm shocked they didn't go get one. Is it now too late to have done it? We have found Rich Sutter, who was a scout for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Rich, where do we find you today?
Well, you're lucky. I'm actually home for about 15, 16 hours.
Oh, no. I was going to say minutes.
What's it like? Because you do so much traveling. What is it like when you actually get to your home?
Chaos. Yeah. The list is long. The time is short. So I better not screw it up when I'm home.
Yeah. What time of year do you get to, oh, I need to build some shelves in the garage? Is there a time of year where you actually get to get back to doing stuff you want to and need to around your house?
Actually, you know, after whenever a team, usually, you know, depending on how we do in the playoffs, how far you go, or how late your season is, usually a week or so after that, 10 days after that, you can settle in and kind of make a, you know, half decent schedule for the summer. But, you know, in today's world, the technology, everything, you know, if you're not in the office, your office is your phone, right?
Yeah, you never get very far from the figurative office these days.
No,
yeah.
No. So, I mean, you know, after that, that's pretty much if my work that I want to get done isn't done by now, it ain't getting done till next June.
Yeah. All right, Rich is going to take us around the NHL a little bit. Tough not to notice that James Neal is the leading goal scorer in the league with 6 goals for the Oilers. I went through the highlights of yesterday's game and thought, okay, well, some of this is good being on the power play with their guys, but there's just systems and teams that work and don't work for players. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's all about systems and structures and, you know, to a lot of outside people, it's hard to understand that or comprehend it, but, it has a lot to do with and the people you play with. And, I think when you look what happened with James Neal, there's a lot of things that went into the reasons why. And you know, I'll go on record saying I'm a big James Neal fan. And what happened last year was an anomaly in his career. Here's a guy who's been to the playoffs 8 years in a row, had been to the playoffs 8 years in a row, had been to 2 Stanley Cup finals in a row, played really important roles in those 2 finals and in the run of the playoffs. And so if you're playing in the Stanley Cup finals, you're playing in the second week of June. And if you're not healthy, it's been taking you at least part of the summer to get healthy again. Therefore, you're losing probably a minimum of 8 weeks, even maybe as long as 10 weeks compared to what everyone else is getting in terms of training. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing that at a certain age, and that's happening to your course of 2 years in a row of playoffs, 8 years in a row, you're going to lose your step. You're going to lose your edge in terms of the training and the proper things that you need to do to get yourself ready in the summertime for the upcoming year. And he simply, he didn't really have the time to get himself back in the area that he had to be and how he had to be in, and it caught up with him. And, that is 2 degrees, the players on the player to do whatever he has to do to make himself or help himself get as ready as much as he can. You guys, but I'm also going to go on record as also saying that, that's some responsibility that has to be taken by your employer. When they signed James Neal a year ago, this past summer, should know him full well where his previous 8 years was at. Should have known full well where his previous 2 genes were at. His health, his well-being, where was he physically, where was he mentally? Okay, now what are we going to do to get you as best ready as possible in this much shorter time frame to get you there? And I really don't think that happened. In fact, I'm quite certain it didn't happen. But that's not my business. But and he came into camp and he wasn't trained properly. He wasn't prepared mentally or physically properly for what had to be done last fall. He fell behind right from the start. And honestly, guys, It's not that he's playing with Connor McDavid. It's not that he's playing with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins or Leon Draisaitl. Like, 3 of 6 goals had nothing to do with Connor McDavid. So it's not about all of a sudden it's Connor McDavid that's changed James Neal's world. It's been James Neal. And it's been also about opportunity and playing with good players. And it's not they didn't have good players around him in Calgary, but let's be honest. Is James Neal going to play better with Connor McDavid or Sean Monahan or Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, all three of the above? Yes, or probably Mark Jankowski or Mr. Ryan in Calgary. So difference in players. Difference in players that can get you the puck, that can make plays, can be playmakers. And that wasn't happening with who he played with in Calgary.
Rich, I'm curious, when you are scouting, how accurate are you able to predict how a guy will fit in the system that your team runs? Is it hit and miss? Are you 90%? I honestly don't know where it would be.
Well, you gotta be close. Yeah. And that's putting it mildly. And that's part of your job is to build, understand how does that guy fit in. And we have a different model in Columbus, and I love it. It's something different that I think really in the last 2-3 years, Jarmo Kekäläinen and our hockey operations staff, John Tortorella, the coaches, there's a difference in how we apply our players in today's world. And that is being simply this, you guys, is that are you a National Hockey League player? Yes, you are. And you are by our standards and probably 30 other teams in the National Hockey League. But for us, are you a Columbus Blue Jacket? Do you fit what that mold is? Do you fit what that criteria is going to be to help us be successful? And if we feel you're not, and it's not just about a hockey player, guys, it's about the human being, that person, how he is with his teammates, what kind of family comes from, what's his character background. There's a lot of things that a lot of teams are starting to play into this nowadays, and we are one of them. And it's very important to us about how that guy fits into your life and into your group.
Rich, I know we're only a week into the season, but early thoughts to you, the biggest surprises, Edmonton, Anaheim 3-0, Carolina 4-0, or San Jose at 0-4?
Well, it's early. So, I mean, to me, it's all about your competition. Who is your competition in your early games? How had that competition play? Those are big markers. So it's really, I think teams that know what they got aren't going to get too panicky. And I think teams that weren't sure from the beginning and know where they're at now are going to worry about some things that you look at San Jose. They could have signed Patrick Marleau 2 weeks ago. They could have signed him 2 months ago. But they wanted to see throughout the exhibition season and the first handful of games in the regular season. So that's about 10 games. And they wanted to see in that period of time, for example, what did they have with all their young kids? I can tell you that I know they like their kids. I like their kids. But there was still something missing, and that's why they brought Patrick Marleau back into the fold. And he will be a leader. He can move up and down your lineup. He can maybe play the power play. He can kill penalties. He's going to have a different role on a lot of different nights that a veteran player can do that a young guy can't do. And so that is kind of how I relate the difference of where some teams are at compared to others. So to me, there's really been no surprises other than maybe San Jose.
Yeah, 0-4 for a team that went to the Western Final last year was a shocking number for me to see when I went to the standings today. Rich, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. Enjoy the hours at home before you're back on the road.
Okay, guys. Look forward to talking next week.
Yes, every Wednesday.
Thanks, Rich.
With Rich Sutter on the Western Pizza Hotline. 25% off your first online order at all participating Saskatchewan Western Pizzas when you order online or the app. Enter promo code 25OFF. Bombers play-by-play man Bob Irving joins us to talk about the Kolaros trade next. sports ticket for Regina Motor Products. No action for the Riders at the trade deadline. The one deal and the big deal, Toronto sending Zach Collaros to Winnipeg in exchange for a draft pick. No Luches Purifoy at practice today. He's dealing with a foot problem. Coach Dickinson says Purifoy will play on Friday. Eskimos will not have running back C.J. Gable for their game with B.C. According to the Edmonton Sun, Shaq Cooper will take his spot. Hashtag CFL Fantasy. It's brought to you by Regina Motor Products. Save up to 25% off the brand new 2019 Chevy Silverado during Trucktober on now at RMP. Bob Irving of CJOB in Winnipeg, do you happen to need a 2019 Chevy Silverado?
Well, if you've got one to give away, sure.
Well, 25% off is almost like giving it away. Something like
that. Yeah, right. I've heard that line before.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. Bob Irving, of course, a longtime voice of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Bob, the Zach Collaros trade to the Bombers in exchange for a draft pick. What do you think?
Well, I'll take you back to yesterday. We knew that the Bombers and Argos were talking, and of course the Argos have a new regime, Derek, as you know there, and I guess they're trying to, you know, do as much as they can to prepare for next year. They've made all their quarterbacks, as I understand it, available. The only one I was told by people inside the Bomber ranks that they had any interest in was Zach Collaros, despite his injury problems and the fact he has only played that basically that one play with Saskatchewan this year. But today it seemed like things had kind of gone quiet. And then we learned around mid-afternoon that, in fact, the deal had gone through and that Collaros was acquired by the Bombers for, I think, third and fifth round picks. Maybe one of them conditional. I'm not sure exactly. So it's very interesting. I know the Bombers, when they learned that Matt Nichols was out for the rest of the year, Mike O'Shea said it would probably be a good idea to have a quarterback with CFL experience, a veteran quarterback brought in to kind of have some reserve and an emergency there in case something happens with Strebler and Sean McGuire. But when we got to this morning and then this afternoon and nothing had happened, we thought that they were probably just going to go ahead status quo. But this is an interesting move indeed.
Is there time for Collaros to play? Do they expect Collaros will actually see the field for them, or is this just insurance?
I believe it's just insurance. I think that Michael Shea had Collaros when he was an assistant coach in Toronto, so he knows him well, has high regard for him, as everybody does, Derek, who's in the league and who knows Zach Collaros and knows of his abilities. But I think he's going to be number three when he comes in to learn the offense, which is probably similar to one that he ran in Hamilton. And, you know, so it won't take him that long, I wouldn't think, to pick it up. The question this raises for me, and I know Mike O'Shea is very conscious of this, you know, what kind of effect is this going to have on Chris Strebler? Because, you know, he's had two tough games, but before that he started four games and done pretty well. He played pretty well. The Bombers were 2-2, and he looked like he was improving. And now he's had two kind of tough games, and all of a sudden you bring in a guy like Zach Collaros. What message does it send to Strebler? How does it affect him? Because he's the guy who's going to play Saturday. He'll play the following week in Calgary and likely the following week in their last game here against Calgary. So he's a quarterback who's either going to win or lose for you down the stretch. What have you done to him with this move? And I know the move was entirely made to give the Bombers their quote-unquote best chance going forward. But there are ramifications that have to be considered beyond that.
How do you think he will react?
I'm not sure. He's a pretty strong-minded young guy, but, you know, he's 24 years old. He might just think, well, isn't that great? They've lost confidence in me pretty quickly, haven't they? You know, I don't think he'll do that. I think he's got a strong character and a determination that really knows no bounds. So my guess is he'll work through it pretty well. But, like, who knows psychologically, right? We'll never be able to fully understand the impact that it has on him. I know that if he goes out and struggles on Monday against Montreal, we're all going to draw the conclusion that the trade disrupted his thinking and, you know, hurt his focus. So we'll see. On the other hand, maybe it spurs him to play better. You know, you can make arguments on both sides. Like I say, it's kind of a tricky deal. You don't see significant trades at the CFL trade deadline hardly ever, And I don't know if this one's significant or not, except the fact that Zach Collaros does have a pretty big name, even though he's been hurt so much. And part of his big name is the fact that he's been concussed so many times. So I don't know. Like I say, it's I've been thinking about it the last couple of hours, and boy, there's arguments on both sides of this one.
Your indication is that Collaros is there just for insurance, but Winnipeg could finish anywhere from first to third. If maybe things are going a little bit off the rails with Strebler and the Bombers are looking at the standings going, well, we need to get Zach in here so we could finish second or finish first. Do you think that thinking plays into it at all?
I don't think we'll see him in the regular season. I don't think they believe they could get him ready to play in a game in the regular season. But here's the thing. The Bombers are in the playoffs, and they're going to play a playoff game in 5 weeks from now, 4 or 5 weeks from now. And I know that they believe that they could get Zach Collaros ready to play in a game 4 or 5 weeks from now. So if there's an injury to Strebler and Sean McGuire, or if they're both playing so poorly that you can't even, you know, stand the thought of putting them on the field again, then 4 or 5 weeks from now, when they play that playoff game, whether it's a crossover or a hosting the second place game or playing in Regina or Calgary, that's when Collaros might become an option.
He is Bob Irving. He's the voice of the Bombers on CGOB in Winnipeg. How far, Bob, in your estimation, are they away from that prospect of that your hypothetical of Strebler's played so horribly? How far are they away from that with the last three losses?
Yeah, I don't know, Derek. That's a good one. A lot will depend on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, against Montreal, this is another game that they've lost three in a row. You know, they need to win a game here and get things turned around, because losing breeds nothing but bad stuff, as we all know. So Strebler will be under the gun in this game for sure. He'll be under the microscope. If he plays well, and, you know, all is well for a week. I think he'll play in Calgary the week after, regardless. But if he went out and threw four picks and had a disastrous day, then I think you might see them come back with Sean McGuire in the Calgary game. Wouldn't that be something?
That's just me
guessing. Now, I know that Michael Shea wants to ride with Strebler. You know, they've spent 2 years nurturing and developing this guy. They're high on him. They think he has tremendous upside. He's a great kid. He's a great competitor. He's smart. And they want him to do well. They want to ride with him. But he'll be the one who determines that. Strebler will be, as you guys know.
Yeah.
His play will determine how long they can ride with him.
When Matt Nichols went down and it was thought he was lost, originally it was thought he was lost for a while, right? Were you surprised they didn't go out and make something happen at that time? Get a guy who had thrown, you know, significant passes in the CFL?
No, I think, Derek, when he got hurt, there was hope, at least, you know, some hope that in 4 or 5 weeks, if his recuperation went well, that he could come back and play again this year. When it became clear after 5 weeks that the healing wasn't going along the way they hoped, that's, I think, when, you know, if they were going to do anything in terms of bringing in a veteran quarterback, they should have done it. But at that point, I don't know what the trade talks were like with any other clubs, or even if they had any, but they felt they could, you know, they at that point too, Strebler had played, I think, 2 or 3 games, and again was playing pretty well. You remember the Saskatchewan game, the 35-10 game. He played fine in that game, and he played outstanding in a game in Montreal that they blew 38-37. He played well in Edmonton the week before that, even in the Labor Day game. You know, he played okay. He led them on a drive late in the game to put them ahead. So, you know, he had played well. And I think they sort of come to the conclusion that, hey, you know, this kid's, he's improving. He's come along. We're going to be okay. So we don't really need to rush out and do anything, because there wasn't a lot available. There really wasn't, that you didn't have to pay a stupid high price for. But now the last 2 weeks have kind of changed things. And that's what happens, right?
Yeah. And, yeah, he's going through what every backup quarterback in every city goes, you're the most popular guy for a bit, but now you're the starter, and now we want your backup, because the CFL is still the CFL. Bob, thank you for your time today on short notice. Appreciate you joining us. And I'm a big Collaros supporter, so I hope he does good things, but not too good when it comes to playing the Riders in the playoffs.
Okay, Derek, anytime.
All right, Bob Irving joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. 25% off your online order, your first online order at all participating Saskatchewan Western Pizzas. That's when you order online or on the app. Enter promo code 25OFF. We will talk plenty more about the CFL, including linebacker coach Chris Tormey joins us for the Coach's Show. That's after the news on the Sports Cage. Wednesdays on the Cage are for Mako. If you've had an uh-oh and want to get it perfect again, better get Mako. You all have been killing it on the text line. 306-936-6262 for TrustedRegina.com, your source for local businesses you can trust. TrustedRegina.com is the smart and simple choice. It is time for the Coach's Show, and this week it is linebacker coach Chris Tormey back with us. Chris, thanks for the time today.
Hey, my pleasure, Derek. Good to be back.
It is great to be here. Last time we traced your coaching career as you went through some really interesting points in college football history. I want to ask you what kind of player you were back in the day.
Yeah, I was a decent player. I was an outside linebacker at the University of Idaho, and I was an all-conference player 2 years in a row, and a captain, and had a free agent tryout with the Washington Redskins, and got cut about 4 weeks into that, and started my coaching career shortly after.
Now, I was going through just some biographical information. What was it, your second year in college, you needed to have knee surgery?
Yeah, I ended up having four knee surgeries. I had one in high school and three after my sophomore year in high school. And I had to sit out a year, and they had to do two more surgeries. It got infected, and it was pretty ugly. But I was able to recover from it and come back and play. I had two pretty good years, my junior year and senior year, and a chance to try out in the NFL after that. So I feel fortunate. I'm paying the price now, though, Derek.
I was going to say it just made me think, what was knee surgery like in the 70s versus what the guys would get now?
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, it was they would open you up, and this is for an MCL injury, which is medial collateral ligament, which they wouldn't even fix that anymore. They would just let it scar over and heal. But anyway, they put about an 8-inch scar in my knee and repaired that ligament, and then they put a cast on your leg, and you don't even see your knee again for 6 weeks. And by the time you get off, your leg is so atrophied it takes months to recover from, and it's a whole different process now. I just I had the knee replacement surgery 5 years ago, and they get you up and get you going and walking right away, and you don't lose that much muscle mass, and and believe me, there have been a lot of strides in orthopedic medicine since 1973 when I had this first surgery.
Well, we've been talking to Jordan Reeves throughout his recovery, and he said he was on the Stairmaster after his ACL not long. I was texting with him the other day. He's back to squatting 315. You're like, wow, it's remarkable. When Reeves told me, hey, I'm already on the Stairmaster, that absolutely blew my mind, because I just had no idea what they can do nowadays.
Oh yeah, I mean they're real, and they do a thing called prehab where they'll actually have the athlete strengthen the area before the surgery, so that it just makes the recovery that much quicker. And they get you moving right away. There's no more of these toe to hip casts. I mean they have you in a
You were in a full length cast.
Yeah, from my toes up to my hip. So
you found out who your true friends were at that time, I suspect.
Well, it makes you a little introspective. I mean, you have to kind of look and say, hey, what's after football? Because, you're not a player anymore. You're injured. And so it makes you kind of check your whole card as to what you are other than just an athlete.
When I was in high school, I was clearly a terrible football player, but my coach had played with the Montreal Alouettes and won Grey Cups. And he told me the story of he tore his ACL. He was an offensive lineman. And when he told that story, I thought, injuries must be really, really quite lonely.
Yeah, I think, they really are. But I think you can come out a stronger person if you have that perspective of really kind of trying to see what else I'm all about other than being just an athlete. For a lot of guys, they don't have that realization until their career is over. But, if you have an injury, a serious injury as I did where you had to sit out a year, it really makes you kind of look beyond football.
He is linebacker coach Chris Tormey joining us for the Coach's Show. By your bio, you've coached in the states of Washington, Idaho, Nevada, Hawaii, Wyoming, and then Montreal, BC, and Saskatchewan. That's accurate?
Yeah, I think that's all I can remember anyway.
Oh, my goodness. With all that moving around to be in football, were any of them stand out as more difficult than the other ones or much better than the other ones?
Oh, are you talking about the moves or the actual places to live?
Well, let's go with the moves to start with, and then you can tell me how bad Wyoming is, I assume.
Well, I tell you, the move to Hawaii was a tough one because my wife had a horse, and I had to choose between, you know, the horse or my wife, so I chose both. And that was about a $5,000 plane flight from Los Angeles, and that was after the trucking the horse from Seattle to Los Angeles and flying it over. So
you brought the horse. How hard is it to bring a horse to Hawaii in case I want to do that?
Well, it's not hard if you got a lot of money.
Yeah.
Put the horse on the truck and set up the flight, and they have one flight a week that flies from Los Angeles to Hawaii. Big 747 set up for big animals. So, yeah, it's doable.
That's amazing. And tell me about the bad place to live, because one of them clearly must stick out for you.
Oh, well, I mean, I'd like to rather talk about the good places. But
tell me about the – we won't talk about Wyoming then. Tell me about the good places.
Yeah, that was a trap question.
What was it like in Hawaii? Because my wife and I went there for a honeymoon, and we thought we're going to live here one day.
Oh, it was awesome. It's just, it's paradise. I mean, you know, it's a long trip to get there. Not so bad from Seattle, but still a 5-hour trip. And you get off the plane, you're in paradise. And we had a nice little condo right on the water in Hawaii Kai. And, you know, we had a nice little boat parked out there. I'd take my boat to Costco and get in the water at any time of day or night, any month out of the year. So, you know, I'd have to put that at the top of the list. And Montreal, a close second.
Wow. Okay. The good on the side of Montreal.
Chris, Cam Judge will not be able to go for you guys this week, so you're going to rotate veteran Sam Hurl and Micah Tights, who's only in his second year in the league. Because of the difference in their experience, do you have different expectations for those players, or are you expecting the same thing regardless of the fact that Sam has a lot more years in the league than Micah does?
Well, we're not going to change the scheme, right? We're going to, you know, our scheme remains the same, and, you know, the guy that's playing that position is going to have to step up and fill some big shoes. I thought Cam was playing really well before the injury and just getting better every week and more confident. And, but, you know, we like what we see. You know, it's clearly Sam has a great track record in the NFL and is a consummate pro, prepares to play every day. And Micah is an up-and-coming young guy that has a lot of ability, you know, that is going to have an opportunity to show what he can do this weekend back in his home city. So I'm excited for both of them.
Someone asked me on Twitter, Chris, someone said, hey, Derek, is there a big drop-off between Cam Judge and Micah Tights? And I have zero answer to that because I don't know what Micah is like as a player. Can you tell us what Micah brings to the game, what we'll notice in the game this weekend?
Well, Micah's a very physical player. He does it, you know, one of the things we talk a lot about in the run game is setting the edge. And you have to be physical in order to do that, to take on tackles and, you know, offensive linemen that are pulling and just be physical and setting that wall, setting that edge so that everything gets turned back inside. So I think that's, if you had to say what's his strong suit, I would say that's probably it.
I think also a strong suit of his is accumulating a 10-pound ball of his shoe tape throughout this year. Are you familiar with the Micah Tights ball?
No, I'm not.
Oh, no, you're not really. He showed it to me yesterday. I took a photo of it because it's amazing. All the tape he uses for his spats, he's been collecting it all season long, and now it's like a 10-pound medicine ball of bacteria and fungus and shoe tape. Maybe.
Well, that's interesting.
Maybe. Yeah, if you have a chance, have him show it to you. It's really...
Yeah, no, I will. I'll ask him about that.
I'll pop up a story on 620ckrm.com. Mike is a neat kid. And you mentioned, I mean, with him and Hurl, right, that you mentioned earlier, two guys get a chance to, you know, really shine in the town where they played in college football. And Mike is from Springbank, which is not far from Calgary. If Micah gets to make one of those Cam Judge free blitzes off the edge, that's going to be a nice special moment for him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure at some point in the game he'll get an opportunity to come. And we like that about him, too. I mean, he plays with reckless abandon and good pad level, and so we're excited to see what he can do.
He is linebacker coach Chris Tormey joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. This is essentially you guys' first place. This a battle for first place, but you guys control your own destiny is something that we talk about. Do you guys talk about, hey, guys, we control our own destiny?
Well, I think everybody knows that. You know, it doesn't really even need to be said. So everybody understands that how important this game is, and that if we win this game, the position will be in, you know, and we're heading into the playoffs, so that's not anything we really even talk about. I mean, it's just about, you know, preparing, about knowing your opponent, about understanding your scheme, about knowing what everyone around you is doing and being prepared so that you're not thinking when the ball snapped, you're playing fast and aggressively, and when those things happen, we like the result on defense.
Since the last time you played Calgary, Bo Levi Mitchell is back. How much different is their offense, if at all, with him at quarterback as opposed to Nick Arbuckle?
Well, I don't know that they are, they'll have any fundamental differences in the actual concepts they're using, but certainly, you know, Bo brings his own flair to the game and his own style and his own, you know, he's so experienced and has such a quick release and has had such great success in this offense that he plays with a lot of confidence. And, you know, he's got all the tools to make all the throws he needs to make. He gets the ball out quick. And you know, I think Arbuckle played very well when he was in there as well. So, you know, regardless of who's behind center, they've got a history of success with that scheme and with the athletes they've been able to bring into that program over the years.
Chris Tormey, linebacker coach of the Riders, thank you for your time. If people want information on how to get a horse across an ocean, where can they get in touch with you? That's amazing.
I have no idea. I'd have to put him in touch with my wife. I think you can start with animal cargo transport in Los Angeles. That'd be my best advice.
That's a smart man who found a way to get his wife's horse across the ocean. That's fantastic. Chris, thank you for your time. Very much appreciate it, and knock him down on Friday.
Okay, thanks, guys, and go Riders.
Thanks, yeah. Chris.
Chris Tormey joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. 25% off your first online order when you order online or on the app from all participating Saskatchewan Western Pizzas. Enter promo code 25 off. He went a lot of places I didn't expect.
See, I thought you would have taken the horse on a boat. I never even thought a plane. I just thought, okay, it's going on a boat and away we go.
Yeah, I bought like a giant photograph. It's 6 feet wide. They sent it on a boat. Yeah, why? Yeah. So many more questions now after hearing Chris. But I love that. I had to decide whether I wanted the job or my wife, and I wanted both. So we took the horse to L.A. and brought him to Hawaii. That is phenomenal. It is 5:18 on the Sports Cage. We'll talk about Cam Judge missing. We'll talk about why the head-to-head record doesn't matter. They're minus 27 after the 37-10 loss. Why we should not focus on that at all going forward. It's the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. Time for a little afternoon rush. Linebacker Cam Judge will not play in Calgary on Friday. Coach Craig Dickinson saying Judge would have needed to practice this week, and he didn't. Judge, of course, suffered a concussion versus Winnipeg on Saturday. Bombers acquiring quarterback Zach Collaros from the Argos. They swap draft picks, and if Collaros re-signs, the Bombers will be giving up a first-rounder. They get a fifth in return. BC Lions have lost receiver Lamar Durant for the rest of the season. TSN Radio in Vancouver saying he suffered a foot injury. Durant will be in the conversation for most outstanding Canadian. And score update from Atlanta. Bottom of the sixth, Atlanta 1, St. Louis 13. I think St. Louis.
They're on the board. The Braves are on the board.
Get through.
Cue the comeback.
Goodness gracious on that one. We just, of course, talked to Coach Chris Tormey, tremendous storyteller. If you missed any of what he said, or you missed Pinball Clemens' interview in which he said, gave us the reasons why he traded Zach Collaros and why he would love to have him back. The Sports Cage on Demand is for the Canadian Brewhouse. The CBH puts the fun in fundraising. Contact the CBH for your next fundraising event. Of course, we asked Coach Chris Tormey about Micah Tights, how he will do and however much he's filling in for Cam Judge. We talked to Tights himself at practice today at the prospect of potentially getting his first CFL start.
It's nice that I can go back home and do it in front of my friends and family. So, yeah, I feel ready to go.
How does that add to the emotion of the game?
You know, I just want to impress everyone that comes out there, but it's really just another game for me. I've been behind Cam all year and watching him and trying to follow in his footsteps.
When was the last time that you played at McMahon Stadium?
Mitchell Bowl against the Laval Rouge Or. Yeah, we lost that game, so it'd be nice to get another win back in McMahon.
You're used to the pressure games there.
I guess
you know,
so, yeah.
How does it feel going into this pressure game?
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, we got a big opportunity here for first place, so I'd love to you know, play a key role in that and just help the team secure first in the West.
Since you've been drafted, it's been a long road to get to this moment. So how much did you have to stay patient and how much did you have to take advantage?
Yeah, well, when I was drafted, I mean, when Coach Jones drafted me, he said, you know, special teams is how you get your start in the CFL. So I did that my first year, and this year I've been, you know, chugging along doing the same thing and just had to wait for the opportunity. And, you know, now it's here. It's up to me to seize it.
Does this week change at all in terms of your preparation, getting the reps with the ones and all the film room?
I mean, it changes because I am now with the ones. Sometimes on B Group we run a lot. We run a bit of a show for the offense, so now I'm just running our calls. I'm seeing what they're going to do. Our offense gives us some looks that they got. So, yeah, it definitely helps out with the preparation, being with the ones, working with Ganey and Charleston in the boundary. So, yeah.
How do Derek Moncrief and Solomon give you advice? Or have they said anything to you, you know?
Yeah, it's really nice to work with Solomon. I don't work too much with Derek, him just being on the strong side. But, yeah, Solly's just the, you know, I've been watching him since I was – well, I've been watching football, so I mean, yeah, it's nice to finally get to, you know, play with him, and I really look up to him. So,
do you know for sure if it'll be you on that first defensive snap? Or?
Nope, I have no idea yet. I know that it's, you know, I don't know if I'll get the start, but I know we'll be playing a lot. So, yeah.
Who are you really looking forward to? Just give one to, just crack somebody.
You know, I've always wanted to sack Bo ever since I've been watching since I was. Like, you know, in grade 9, so great, ever since he started coming in. So I'd love to get a sack, but just looking to, you know, just make the plays when they come to me, and, yeah.
Cam's got at least two sacks where he was absolutely free to obliterate the quarterback. Mm-hmm. Are you mentally prepared to obliterate a quarterback?
Yeah, I'm hoping I'll get a free look like that right at his back. You know, that's an easy target, so I'd love to get one of those right away, too.
Not everybody's willing to answer the question, who are you looking to just obliterate, or just who are you looking to just get one on? But yeah, I kind of wanted to sack Bo Levi Mitchell.
Just see the smile on his face at the thought of it.
Yeah, he was happy, but then reverts back into, I just hope to do my job. So one of the things I was introduced to yesterday with Micah Tights is, since the beginning of the season, and he missed part of training camp, but since the beginning of the season, he and a couple of the guys got the idea, you know what, we should just collect all the tape we keep around our ankles, right? You see them wearing black shoes and their ankles are taped. So every day after practice, after the game, he unravels essentially the tape off his ankle, and he has it in a giant ball, which is now the size of a basketball, and he says weighs 10 pounds. I'm like, really? You have that? Oh, yeah, just keep it. He was undoing the tape from, he's going to put it on the ball. He's like, yeah, I just keep it underneath here. And I thought, there's some fungus deep in there that you are not going to want. This is now, what, 5 months after the training camp.
Where are you going to store it? Eventually, it's going to become too big.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's causing a problem already in the locker room. Where are we putting this thing?
They win the Grey Cup. He's going to be dancing around with champagne and this giant ball of his leftover foot. Cam Judge, I mean, setting career highs this season in tackles, in special teams tackles, in sacks. He's matched his career high with one interception. Has been a real nice impact. So, I honestly...
There's big shoes to fill there. He's played very, very well. And Sam Hurl's been around the league, and I suspect he'll probably start, I'm guessing, just because he's a veteran. He's also from Calgary, too.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily mean anything. But there's a lot to live up to there. Cam Judge has had a fantastic season, and there's going to be some pressure on both Sam and Micah to at least try to maintain that level of play.
And Dickinson said, Micah's so good on special teams, we'll probably have to limit the number of snaps we can use him on defense because I don't want to take him off special teams. So that's where the rotation will come in. Who will get the first one? It was Micah with the number ones from what we saw at practice today. Yesterday's practice was close. But to your point, Sam has had some good seasons of making tackles, playing in the middle in Winnipeg. Sam's more experienced. Micah's got the younger blood. Somebody's got to step up.
I think they'll both be highly motivated just the fact that it's an opportunity for them that they obviously haven't had so far this year.
Yeah, and it will be – there's no bigger game than Calgary on Friday. And we will have it for you on 620 CKRM. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. It all comes down to that one. And down 27 in the point difference, That will not matter.
That's not important.
We were talking about it today. If they win, they're two wins ahead of Calgary. Calgary's not catching them with two wins when the Riders play BC, Edmonton. If they lose...
And Calgary's got a home and home with Winnipeg.
Exactly. If they lose, they lose the tiebreaker anyway. Okay, well, big deal. It doesn't matter if you lose by any number. If you win by 50, that does nothing for you. You win the tiebreaker, you're already two games ahead. You can clinch earlier, but does that really mean much?
And even if they lose, they're still in a tie. So you just win one more game down the line, you can still finish first.
Which, based on the schedules...
The Riders have the better schedule.
Common game with BC. I would way rather have two against Edmonton.
Than
you and
two
I are
the
same boat. Exactly. So things looking pretty good for the Riders. Quinn Magnuson is Wednesday Worries next on The Cage. It just sounds like football in here. Smells like football too. We may want to have someone look into that. That may not be exactly what we're hoping for. It's the Sports Cage, 620 CKRM, Derek Taylor, Bob Krawczyk with you. You want to hit us up on the text line. What do you think Zach Collaros will do this season in Winnipeg? Will he play? Will he not play? Will he ruin Calgary's hopes in the playoffs? Will he not ruin Calgary's hopes in the playoffs? Does he see the field again in his career is a real concern as well. Do hit us up on the text line, 306-936-6262. It's for TrustedRegina.com, your source for local businesses you can trust. TrustedRegina.com, the smart and simple choice. Western Pizza Hotline is Quinn Magnuson with his Wednesday Worries. Quinn, before we get to that, I want to ask you, what do you think Zach Collaros to the Bombers?
Well, you know what? It was not a huge surprise. I mean, there had been some talk about it most of the week, but the thing that concerns me is that, well, let's look at it this way. I don't think it's a bad move for the Bombers, because I think what the Bombers have realized is that Chris Streveler, teams had figured him out. They had figured out that basically, I don't want to call him a one-trick pony, because I still think he's a talented athlete, and I think he's a great leader on the field. But there were certain things that he was limited in doing, and if you could contain him, he's pretty much becomes that one-dimensional quarterback. So bringing Collaros in certainly doesn't hurt the Bombers, but it really is kind of like starting over. You're now working on your third quarterback. He has to learn all the systems. He has to come in there. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt, as you know we all worry about with Zach Collaros with his concussion situations. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's going to make this team that much better, though, in terms of carrying them through the playoffs. So it smells and reeks of a bit of desperation by the Bombers. And I hate to say that because I respect Zach as a quarterback and as a player. But this late in the season, bringing in a guy like him basically just shows that Winnipeg is saying, listen, we got to do everything we can to try and just make it through the playoffs. Whereas 3 weeks ago, they were a Grey Cup contender.
Well, and they were a Grey Cup contender, and they've become not one, in my mind, because of Streveler, right? Nick, you talk about the things he can't do. A lot of times that ends up being passing the football when he hucks it at Lucky Whitehead's knees, or he forces Kenny Lawler to slide to make a catch instead of being able to catch and run. It just seems so deficient as a passer that I had a tough time overlooking the other stuff that he can do.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And Chris Drebler's claim to fame in college was really his legs. It was his ability to be able to run and make things happen. But that's the thing about the American college game, is that you have a lot of great athletes down there that play quarterback, that make things happen. And South Dakota, where he played football, is not known necessarily as a heavy passing team. So they used his legs and then passed when they had to. They also weren't overly effective in terms of a lot of wins with him at quarterback either, so they struggled with him there. And so in the professional leagues, you know, we've seen this a lot in the last 5 to 7 years, guys. We've seen, you know, a guy like Cato out in Montreal come in, light it up for two games, because nobody had had film on him. Nobody knew what his strengths and weaknesses are, but then as soon as you get film and you realize, okay, this is what we do need to do to take this kid out of the game, he became ineffective and basically got punted from the league. This is the thing about the CFL and its quarterbacks. The quarterback is the most important position in this league. And if you can find a guy that can throw first And then maybe add some running to it. Like Cody Fajardo came out of a University of Nevada program that threw the ball all the time. And then he ran when he had to. And that's what's being effective for him right now, is that he's an efficient quarterback. He's doing very well that way. Chris Streveler isn't that. And so Winnipeg is showing some desperation by going out and picking up Kolaros.
Well, because they are desperate, right? They're a team that looked like they were set to make a real run at tops in the West, and it's falling apart without Nichols. Let's move on to your three worries, and your first worry is, oh, man, can the Bombers and Stamps please split their season series coming up?
Yeah, you know, you take a look at the remainder of the schedule, and obviously this game in Calgary this weekend for Saskatchewan is absolutely paramount to them finishing in first place. They have to win this game. They still could finish in first, but I'll tell you what, if they win this weekend, Winnipeg and Calgary split, it's pretty much a done deal. So we're really hoping, as Rider Nation hopes, that Winnipeg and Calgary can beat each other up during that home-and-home series, take one off of each other. That keeps them at, you know, 10 wins each. You know, Winnipeg could beat Montreal this weekend. There's a possibility, but then all they have is two games left because they have the bye in week 21. They have to split those games for the Riders to once again continue moving towards that first place finish.
I think the Bombers, with their defense and special teams, Quinn, will find a way to get that split. Do you think a split will actually happen, though?
Yeah, I think it will. It's very tough to win the back-to-back. You know, in this league, it's tough to win two games in a row unless, you know, you're Saskatchewan and you're playing against, say, Toronto. But Winnipeg and Calgary are two both very talented teams. Winnipeg's defense and special teams are extremely strong. Whether Kolaros plays this, you know, by week two in Winnipeg, he should be dressing, you'd think. So maybe that puts a new wrinkle on it. So I expect those two games to be split, absolutely.
All right, Quinn Magnuson with his Wednesday worries. Number two is, will the Stampeders be extra motivated because they lost in Montreal this week? Or, pardon me, last week.
Yeah, I don't. Here's the thing. I don't think Calgary's really happy about losing to Montreal. They were on a bit of a roll since Bo Levi came back. They'd won a few games in a row, and then they go out and kind of stub their toe against the Alouettes, which, not taking anything away from the Alouettes, because that's a very much improved team. But Calgary knew that losing that game was that really put a dent into their first place hopes. They're obviously going to make the playoffs, but they wanted to get that first place position. They're not going to be happy about it. They realize they're coming up against a very strong three-phase Saskatchewan Rough Rider team, but they're at home, they're at McMahon Stadium. Calgary's going to be extra motivated to win this game to keep their first-place hopes alive.
Speaking of motivation, it's been a while, but do you think the Riders' memory of their beatdown at the hands of Calgary back in July will be motivation for them?
I'll tell you what, from a player's perspective, I don't think that's going to be the motivation for this game. I don't know if that I mean, that's 3 months ago. Like, it's bygones, and I believe you mentioned it before the break, guys, that the 28-point difference really doesn't matter. I mean, the Riders just flat out need to win to control their destiny. So it's I think that's their motivation right now. I think being in first place and maintaining that level of play that they've been playing at for the last few games is crucial going into the playoffs. It's playing with confidence and being the best team going into, you know, the middle of October, end of October with the playoffs. So it's not going to be motivation. I don't think they really care about what happened in July. It's all about what happens on Saturday.
All right. And Quinn, your third one, I'm going to have to punch at you a little bit on your third one. So I love it. Will the Riders catch BC and Edmonton at the wrong time? What's your concern there?
Well, once again, I'm thinking about this from a player's perspective, and the way I see it is this, is that if the Riders go out and beat Calgary this weekend, and they very well can, that puts them at 11 wins, you know, puts them in a bit of a driver's seat. They have a little more control, but you've got two teams. Here's the thing. BC's kind of come out of nowhere in the last 3 weeks, and they still have a chance of picking up that crossover spot, albeit it's a slim chance, but there is still a chance. They win their final three or four games, Edmonton loses their final games, and BC has a chance of doing the crossover. They're going to be extra motivated. Edmonton, same thing. They do not want to just absolutely tank the remaining games in the season and end up in fifth place. So those two teams are going to be kind of scary in the final 3 weeks of the season for the Riders, especially if the Riders win this weekend, because you're going to go into those games going, oh, guys, we just need to win one more game, right, to finish in first place. It's such a head game. It's so hard to stay focused when you look at the standings things and so forth. And so that's why the message from Coach Dickinson all the way down to the players has to be, you know, and it sounds cliche, but it's a game at a time, win this game, win this quarter, win this half, and so forth. Don't look at the standings. Don't care about where we finish. We'll finish where we finish. And we can't rely on other teams. Let's just control what we do. But those three games at the end of the season scare me a little bit, yeah.
Okay, because my contention is that BC is still not any good, because they four-game winning streak, fantastic. They've beaten Ottawa, Toronto, and Montreal. Montreal at home, that's a decent win.
The with other Montreal's team, backup quarterback.
With that's okay. To be fair, that's right. That was Antonio Pipkin, Matthew Schilt's game. Pardon me.
Pipkin dropped the ball at the 1 yard line.
It seems like so much of what we as fans perceive as a team is hot is they're playing terrible teams right now. I'm not convinced BC is any good still.
Well, I'm not suggesting that, okay, yes, you take a look at those four games. I'm not suggesting BC is hot, but they've played themselves into a position to work their way into potentially a playoff position, right?
Yeah.
And so they've beaten the teams they should beat, the Ottawas, the Torontos. You know, they caught Montreal in a bad week with some guys out. So they've done what they had to do to put themselves back in a position. And they're growing, some confidence there where, you know what, we can play. We can make that fourth playoff spot and get the crossover. We just need a little bit of help from everybody else. So here's the thing. Don't count BC out. All I'm saying is that when the Riders do get them in 2 weeks, the Riders have to basically go into BC and shut the front door on them.
Yeah.
And just end that game in the first half. So BC's out of the playoffs. Saskatchewan basically is securing themselves first place. And that way you can go into the two Edmonton games, maybe hoping for a split and still maintain first place. But lots of things happen, guys, and the thing that I hate about these Wednesday worries for myself is the fact that it's all speculation and it's all just thinking about stuff that may or may not happen.
But the Riders, radio, baby.
It is, but you know what's the thing that worries me the most? For the last 4 years, I've been doing Rider radio and TV and doing, you know, the prognostications. I've always taken the devil's advocate reverse psychology side, because every time I say the Riders are going to win, they lose. And so each week I go, nah, they're going to lose, and then they win, and that's what's been kind of good. So I kind of, what concerns me is that I actually really like this Rider team, and that they are very good, and that worries me, because it feels like, you'd hate to see this team win 13 games and then go and tank in the first, or, you know, second round, let's say, right?
Oh, that'll
be my worry.
That's straight Rider Nation.
Yeah. I've found success by just calling it like it is. Those two BC games, I'm like, BC is not very good. The Riders should win them both. Thankfully, they won them both. The second Ottawa game, Ottawa's a terrible team. I got yelled at. Don't say that. What if Dominic Davis? Sure, and what if monkeys fly out of my bottom, right? We all approach it our own way. Mine is to call it like it is, look forward, permutations, make it happen. Just beat Calgary, Bob. Just beat Calgary,
just beat
and
Calgary.
Everything's easy.
Calgary, that's right. Just, but
ABC,
it's never. It's
always
you always worry about the easy path.
Yeah.
Always the path that seems the easiest always never seems to work out.
Quinn, give me
there
that ABC
go.
Again.
Always beat Calgary.
Yeah. There you go.
ABC.
Yeah, exactly. And then BC, free space on the bingo card. Edmonton is not particularly good. 14-4, hosting the West Final. Here it comes. Just saying.
Incredible. They definitely could do that.
Yeah. Quinn, thanks so much. Appreciate you joining us. Always love talking to you, man.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Thanks, Quinn. Right.
Quinn Magnuson with his Wednesday worries on the Western Pizza Hotline. 25% off your first online order at all participating Saskatchewan Western Pizzas. That's when you order online or on the app. Enter promo code 25OFF. Yeah. Losing the playoffs, can't have it.
That's how everybody thinks. It's just like, oh, it's going too well. Something bad's got to happen. You know what? It doesn't have to happen.
It
doesn't have to happen like that.
All right. We will continue on the Sports Cage. More of your texts. What impact will Kolaros have in Winnipeg? What impact will it have on the Riders run through the playoffs, if any? Next. Sports ticker for Regina Motor Products. No action for the Riders at the trade deadline. The one deal, Toronto sending quarterback Zach Kolaros to Winnipeg in exchange for a draft pick. They include a draft pick en route to Winnipeg. No Lucchez Purifoy at practice today. He's dealing with a foot problem. Coach Dickinson says Purifoy will play on Friday. The Eskimos, they will not have running back C.J. Gable for their game with B.C. According to the Edmonton Sun, Shaq Cooper will take a spot and will star on your CFL fantasy team. It's brought to you by Regina Motor Products. Go cruise crazy at RMP with great deals on their huge selection of certified pre-owned Chevy Cruises. If you missed any of the show, including our interview with Mike Pinball Clemens on why he dealt Zach Kolaros, you can get it on demand, the Sports Cage on demand for the Canadian Brewhouse. The CBH puts the fun in fundraising. Contact the CBH for your next fundraising event. Top of the hour, it is Kirk Penton of The Athletic. He's got a column on Jim Popp's departure and replacement by Pinball Clemens. He and I will certainly get into the Zach Kolaros trade. Bob, over under 25% chance that Zach Kolaros sees the field for the Bombers this season, including the playoffs?
Over.
Okay.
I'm going to say over because Strebler, they're going to realize at some point that they won't be able to get to where they want to go with him at quarterback, and they're going to make a change.
They must have realized that by now
they
to pull this deal at this time.
They have to know that they look at this going, okay, it's starting to go south on us a bit, and it's good to have the insurance. But as Bob Irving had talked about, they really, when Matt Nichols said he was gone for the year, they really didn't, sounds like, look that hard to get a third quarterback in. Now all of a sudden, as the season's winding down, and now they've lost three in a row, well, maybe we should get someone in here with some experience that can throw the ball down the field with some level of accuracy.
They really tried to make Strebler happen, right? They plopped him in last year. Right off the bat, Nichols is injured in the preseason, couldn't play the first games. It's Strebler time. They win that first game. It goes south before then. They really tried to make this Strebler thing happen to the point where there was talk of, oh, man, offseason, let Nichols go and Strebler's the starter. And I never have seen it. He's thrown for 300 yards. Sure, he made some passes in that Banjo Bowl game. He'll make some passes that make you go, okay, wow. It's the rest of them that a guy like Cody Fajardo completes in his sleep that Strebler does not do. How many times? There were four times in that game this past week where he just took off from a clean pocket, said, I don't see my first read. I'm out of here. That just can't be happening in your second year. I've never seen it. I never understood why the Bombers saw it. And then again, I don't know what they know about football. But to me, this was always coming, and I can't believe it took them this long to do it.
Well, their whole offense is based within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage. It's either swing passes, screen passes. I think in the last game against the Riders, I think he threw the ball downfield like further than 10 yards, I believe three times.
Yeah. So,
and that's it. So when the defense knows that your whole offense is going to be within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage, if not behind the line of scrimmage with screen passes and swing passes, it's only a matter of time until it gets figured out. And Hamilton and the Riders have done that over the last 2 weeks.
His last three games, Strebler, depth of target, average depth of target where the receiver is compared to the line of scrimmage this season is a little under 10 yards downfield. Strebler, his last three games, 5.1, 7.5, and 8.7.
I'm almost surprised it's that high.
And deep attempts, 10 in the last three games combined. You can't, well, what are his intermediate attempts? Intermediate attempts were 16 in the last three games combined. His short attempts and his attempts behind the line of scrimmage, forgive me, I'm doing quick math, 48, 56, 62, 71. It's all within 10 yards and behind the line of scrimmage with Strebler. And to me, I never saw it. I forget, it was Quinn who brought up Rakeem Cato. The first game Rakeem Cato played was the CFL panel. I was at TSN at the time, raving about him. He was 20 of 25. This is amazing. Look at how he can run. Every one of those passes was within 4 yards of the line of scrimmage virtually. And I thought, did you guys not see what I saw? A guy who's dumping down and nothing. Like, we fall in love with running quarterbacks, and we did with Strebler because he's such a lethal weapon in that. And as all the players, Mike Edom would say to me and Solomon El-Mimian all said to me in interviews, Strebler is a weapon. I always looked at them like the dog who doesn't understand what you're saying. What do you mean? Because what I see is not what you're saying. You know it better than I do, but I can't see it. And we're at the point where Winnipeg no longer sees it.
He's a weapon based on his ability to run the football. But eventually, eventually, you'll need your quarterback to not only throw the ball down the field, but throw the ball downfield accurately. And Strebel has demonstrated that he can do neither.
It's a 70% passing league, right? Like, we can't, no matter how much we might want to, we can't turn it back to the 1980s and Tony Dorsett and establish the run. And we can't even turn it back to Mike Pringle, which was the 90s.
I mean, if you're Winnipeg and you don't want a quarterback to control the ball down the field, you might as well just have Andrew Harris line up behind center.
Yeah.
And that way you don't have to worry about Strebler trying to get him the ball.
Let's wildcat this piece.
Let's wildcat it all day.
Darvin Adams has tried some deep balls.
I forgot to mention this last week. He should be the guy throwing the ball down the field. He's got a better arm than Strebler.
Yeah, it's I'm surprised it took Winnipeg this long that they've done it. I'm still on Kolaris Island. I think he plays. I think he has an impact. I don't want to play if it's Kolaris and the Bombers, I don't want to play him in the first round. I want the Riders in first and get away from all
he
that
He will
nonsense.
Play at some point.
I'm with you 100%. News is next. The other side, it's Kirk Pentin of The Athletic. We'll go over his weekly CFL column and talk more of the Kolaris trade and the impact on the Riders. That's next on The Cage. Sports Cage on a Wednesday for Mako. If you've had an uh-oh and want to get it perfect again, better get Mako. We go to the Western Pizza Hotline. $9 off Kirk Pentin's all day today. Kirk, welcome.
I'm hungry.
Could I tempt you with some delicious Western pizza, perhaps?
Just drive it on out here.
I can get you 25% off when you order on the app. Delivery may be a little bit to BC. might take a while.
It's still a deal. I'll do it.
Exactly. There you go. All right. Just wanted to clear something up. You obviously have been working. You know very well Zach Kolaris traded to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. We had Pinball Clemens on earlier in the show, and we paraphrased some of his comments to plop them out on Twitter to get folks excited for the Sports Cage. I wanted to go back and pull out Pinball's exact quote about Kolaris. He said, quote, "Not only did we get a draft choice, but we have a really good chance in the offseason of securing him back." That was out of Pinball's mouth. Some folks are saying, isn't that tampering? And I have zero idea what tampering is in the CFL, but that's what Pinball said to us. The Sports Cage on Demand will have it up after the show. Kirk Pentin, what do you think about the Bombers acquiring Zach Kolaris?
Well, I mean, I think it was just done to make a fan base happy in Winnipeg, and it's not probably going to have much of a factor. I mean, Chris Strebler's not going down. He's been taking licks and keeps on ticking, and they'll ride him as long as they can. And the only way that Kolaris gets in is if, Strebler does somehow get hurt. But, we all know that Zach Kolaris is a fragment of his former self and not going to lead anybody to a Grey Cup. So, I don't think the deal is really that big of a deal at all, to be honest.
You don't think he plays at all?
I assume not. I mean,
barring a disaster, obviously, barring an injury.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. He's obviously the first guy in and you know, I guess that's a pretty good depth guy, but I mean, you've seen it. We've all seen it. He's not 2015 Zach Kolaris, that's for sure.
Yeah. I maintain I'm a little bit afraid of this trade from the perspective of someone who roots for the Riders. Because, I mean, you mentioned 2015 Kolaris, and it's been a lot of injuries and downhill since then. But Winnipeg's a team that can protect the quarterback if the quarterback knows to stay in the pocket. They have, as much as people want to tell me their receivers aren't very good, they have decent receivers there. Between Darvin Adams is a guy everybody should want. Kenny Lawler's doing some stuff. Nick Dembski is a good one, and Andrew Harris out of the backfield. That's a team with an offensive coordinator, Paul Appelese. I would contend Kolaris, with the appropriate amount of time, can do some stuff in that offense.
Well, it would almost be a situation of the 2018 Saskatchewan Roughriders in a way. Let's not forget that he won 10 games last year.
Well, and I know how or did the defense and special teams win 10 games, yeah.
He was the quarterback when they went 10-4. So that tells you that is something that Bomber fans, I guess, could be, you know, looking at, I would say, because that they do have a defense that is okay at times.
They
have their breakdowns. I don't know if they're probably not as good as Saskatchewan's defense was last year, but you're right about the protection, and you're right about, you know, just being smart enough not to to make some of those throws that Strebler makes. You know, those are ugly. So who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe the Bombers finally realize that Strebler is not going to deliver them a Grey Cup. And who knows? Maybe this is all part of a master plan to somehow get Kolaros up to speed and going. But, I mean, he hasn't played since the first drive of the season. So
yeah. I just wonder why you would do the trade if you have zero intention of him playing. Why you would even bother making this trade?
Well, that's kind of what I said off the top, almost to make fans happy, right? Because there's the cry for a backup, a veteran backup, has been loud and clear out of the Manitoba Capital over the last few weeks as Strebler has thrown those balls directly at defenders. So.
Oh. Hit Mike Adam right in the numbers, man. It was incredible seeing him throw three drop picks in that game. Oh,
yeah. So, but I mean, just look, if you look at it, if Chris Trevor gets hurt, and there's, you know, he does run a lot, although he hasn't been running since he took that shot in the hip in that Montreal game, which I grow curious, more curious about every week, because he's not running like he was up until that point. I don't know if he's hurt or what, but, you know, if he goes down, you don't want to put Sean McGuire in. If you put in Zach Kolaros, you at least give your team the belief that, okay, maybe we can make something happen here. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's a stretch.
I don't profess to know thing one about Sean McGuire, but I'm not convinced it can be far down from Strebler. Like it might even be up. Like we've seen backups surprise this season, and we've seen Logan Kilgores be exactly what we expected. I have no idea what to expect from McGuire, but in my mind, I've never been on the Strebler train, so I don't know that it can be any worse. Leads me to think that they intend to play Kolaros because it fits right in my line of thinking. You see how I get to where I'm going.
Well, you know, I mean, it's all about believing in the locker room that you can win, right? And there can't be much belief in that Winnipeg locker room that you can win. So maybe this is that. Maybe this is trying to give the guys hope that there is another option if things keep going. Although I know just as well as a lot of people, there aren't many people more stubborn than Mike O'Shea and, in a way, Kyle Walters, just based on how they stick with guys and say that they're going to get the job done when they still don't. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch if it's bad enough that they pull the trigger and see what exactly Zach Kolaros has left in the tank.
Yeah. But O'Shea and Walters still waiting for this revolution. It's maybe it's coming. He's Kirk Pittman of The Athletic joining us on the Western Pizza Hotline. When I read your column today, of course, I read your column every week and everybody should. I wanted to reach out and kiss you because you called out the Lions for this 4-game winning streak, which is very soft. It's 4 wins, but it's very soft.
Yes. The Ottawa-Toronto syndrome, as I believed I called it.
Yeah.
We saw it with Edmonton earlier in the year. In Edmonton, halfway through the season, the fine, fine journalists up there in the City of Champions were saying these guys haven't beaten anybody. And now look what's happened to them when they've had to play good talent. They just keep losing. And the Bombers were kind of the same way. They got Toronto and, they couldn't even beat Toronto twice, and Ottawa, and, really beat up on these bad teams early on. And once again, they're playing good teams and they've plummeted from first to third, although they did lose their starting quarterback. That's they do have a bit of an asterisk there, but a lot of teams have lost their starting quarterback this year. So yeah, it's cute how the Lions think that they've turned this corner and are now amazing, but the reality's coming.
Yeah.
Might not happen this weekend, but it's coming.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Edmonton, for all Edmonton's problems, Edmonton's a better team than BC this season.
I think so.
And to see BC be the betting favorite for this one, I get it, but when you trace winning streaks in the CFL, you really have to go, okay, but who was it against? We did it to the Riders a ton early this season, right? Yeah, they won a game. It was against Toronto. They won two more. That was against BC. We're now past that point, right? Because the Riders have beaten some real teams. But yeah, mm-hmm. when we're talking streaks, you really need to look who those streaks came against.
Yeah. And now I think, you know, Edmonton, they do have the talent, although one of my insiders today just absolutely ripped their secondary, said they're awful. I think Edmonton is almost one of those teams now with Logan Kilgore at the helm.
Oof.
I don't know. They're just, you know, obviously they're not winning. So, you know, I think that confidence that the Lions got will help them in this battle of two teams that, well, they're not going anywhere. So it's, you know, one of them could win and one of them will win and one of them will lose, but it won't really matter in the big picture.
Yeah, absolutely. He is Kirk Pentin of The Athletic. And your column had a real interesting reason why some folks, some extra folks may root for Ottawa Redblacks third stringer come starter Will Arndt.
It's such a cool story. I'd love to chat with him more about it. I know the Ottawa guys have done stories about it, but I just want to know how he got there. I haven't been able to find out how he ended up in Fort McMurray. Will Arndt, who went, I think he attended Western Connecticut, which must have a great rivalry with Southern Connecticut or something yeah. like that. This is Division III we're talking about here. The guy goes to Fort McMurray, Alberta, to learn about the three-down game and wins a whatever semi-pro championship with the Fort McMurray Monarchs a few years ago, and now he's getting a start in the CFL. So it's just a cool story, and pretty much the only reason to watch Ottawa take on Toronto on Friday night.
Oh, just how much money would I need to pay you to sit down and write a game story of Ottawa Toronto? $1,000 bucks.
Yeah, you'd have to start at four figures for sure.
That's amazing. Will Arndt, 6'5", 215, 26-year-old from Sandy Hook, Connecticut, will be another layer to the story you will write for The Athletic. But, I mean, Ottawa, there's a perfect example of talking about Winnipeg. Maybe they wouldn't be any worse with Sean McGuire. They can't possibly be any worse. Will Arndt can't do anything worse than what Dom Davis and John Jennings have verbed up on camera. I was going to say some verbs that weren't pleasant, but yeah, what they've put on film this year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what happened to that squad is just unbelievable to lose as much talent as they had. They lost basically almost every piece of free agent talent they had, it seems. So
yeah,
left them with nobody and... boy, I wouldn't want to be Marcel Desjardins trying to figure that out. Although, we're talking about the CFL now, Derek.
One-year contracts.
You can figure it out in one winter. You're right. The one-year contract is going to change this league and could be Ottawa and Toronto battling for first place overall next year at this time, and it wouldn't surprise me in the least. So maybe Will Arndt will be an MOP candidate next year. Who knows? And then the Fort McMurray Monarchs will have swag being sold all over Canada.
Why aren't you a Fort McMurray whatever fan? Yeah,
there you go.
Outstanding. Now, just wind back with me, if you would, to April when the season over-unders came up and Ottawa came out at 9.5. I think you can imagine how wide my eyes were that day, and we're long past the point where I've been proven right with that one. I wanted to mortgage my house.
Yeah, I was going to say, when does the hot tub arrive from that bet?
Yeah, exactly. Oh gosh, futures bets have been very, very good. When you just have to be. I beginning of the season, I'm like, Montreal's going to be good. Ottawa's going to be atrocious, and you just gotta stomach it, and then all the bucks roll in because that's what we. Aaron Karolnik and our friend on Tuesday have good gambling tips. That's why you listen to the Sports Cage, and that is why you read Kirk Pentin's column in The Athletic for good tips. There's a coach, one of your anonymous sources, saying none of us can outcoach bad quarterbacking, talking about Chris Streveler. And yeah, the experiment, hopefully. Rank these quarterbacks for me, if you would. Would you rather have 2016 Rakeem Cato
Oh, Lord.
2018, Brandon Bridge. 2019, Chris Strebler. And if I can think of a fourth quarterback in that vein, I'll throw him out there. But rank them for me in which you would want on your team.
Well, I guess I'd take Bridge first.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know. Cato, it's between Cato and Bridge. I mean, that's how...
You're punting on Strebler entirely.
I am. I mean, listen, last year, early on, after he played for the first time, one of my insiders said, just watch his arm. Like, watch his arm strength. He doesn't have the arm strength that any other quarterback in the CFL has, that every other quarterback in the CFL has.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Like, it's just, it's, and I'm like, wow. Like, I didn't, you know, things I don't look at, but these guys look at, and it made so much sense, and it continues to ring true. He just, you know, he can lob them up nice every once in a while and hit a guy who's fairly wide open, but I'm sorry. I don't understand it. So
yeah, I'm with you.
Flip a coin on Bridge or Cato and I'll run with them.
Yeah. Having just finished breaking down that game, there's just too many points where he hits guys in the feet or he forces them to slide or he just ruins their opportunity to get yards after catch. It's what I've seen since the beginning and have been waiting for to come through. And it's, I think everybody's kind of caught up to what I was. So fortunate that I was right as I was throwing stones back last season. Kirk, thanks so much for your time, brother. Everybody should read your column in The Athletic. Subscribe immediately and just drink it all in. Thanks, man.
Rider fans will want to read next week's column for sure.
Really?
There you go.
All right.
I'm out.
I love it. Kirk Pitton on the Western Pizza Hotline. Thanks, brother. 25% off your first online order on all participating Saskatchewan Western Pizzas. That's when you order online or on the app. Enter promo code 25 off. Mark Johnson of My92. Rider fan extraordinaire joins us next. Don't miss the WHL Prairie Classic. Regina Pats take on the Calgary Hitmen. It is October 27th at Mosaic Stadium. Your tickets, you can get them now at Ticketmaster. Pre-game at Confederation Park at Mosaic Stadium. Admission is free. Mark Johnson will be there. You'll be there. Will you be there?
Absolutely, I'll be there. Wouldn't miss it.
Are you going to the big game? Or are you going to the Pats game?
Pats.
Okay,
yeah. Pats game.
I'll be out of town for the big game. I've always been super sarcastic about, oh, they're putting in a stadium, the seats are going to be awful. But when it's coming, I kind of want to feel it. I want to be there.
And with, it's $18.50 for a ticket to the Pats game.
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with that.
No, absolutely. I bought, there were, when you go, you have to buy, you know, your tickets, but you can't leave a single seat. So there were three in the section I wanted to sit. I'm buying all three. Me and my wife are going. There's going to be some extra room for my 2-foot hot dog, whatever I have.
All your goodies, your popcorn. It's going to be perfect.
She'll be happy to have a space between us when I make those chewing sounds because that drives her bonkers. What are you thinking for this game on Friday, the Riders and Bombers? Riders and Bombers. We've been talking Bombers all day. Riders and Stamps.
I'm excited. This last game with the Bombers, the defense was just...
Oh.
Unbelievable. Good to see Zach Evans out there again.
Yep.
But they look so good. The offense, first half, not great. They got to take advantage of the turnovers, right? Especially if they want to go deep in playoffs. When you turn the ball over, you got to make the other team pay, right?
Well, they got to catch the ball too, right? You were on the field level to see Mike Edom get hit in the chest with a ball and start pulling 20 push-ups. Oh, I should have caught that.
Yeah, exactly. At least he did the 20 push-ups. He's like, all right, well, I better do this. I'm excited for the game. This is the best time of year. We're late into the season.
Yeah.
Could see the West final here. It's, Calgary's going to be tougher than Winnipeg, I'd say. But if defense plays like they did against the Bombers and the offense, you know, Jordan Williams-Lambert only had one catch on Saturday.
Yep.
Get him into the game plan a little more and
prosper.
Yeah.
Profit, as you will. Yeah, it's – where was I going? We were talking dropped interceptions. I lost it before Jordan Williams-Lambert. A lot of sports we'll talk about just get into the playoffs. Columbus Blue Jackets last year just got in the playoffs and had this miracle run. To me, the CFL is not just get in the playoffs, because if you can get first place, you have one game between you and the Grey Cup. I don't want to host a game and go on the road. I don't want to go on the road twice. I don't want to cross over and twice. I want one game, and if we win that at home, we're in the playoffs. Win on Friday, and you've pretty much locked that up.
And that's why, the players knowing that, the team knowing that, I think they're just going to bring it on Friday. And yeah, you're right. You got that West Final, one game. That place would be rocking.
Oh, man.
You can't go wrong with that.
Freezing in Pill Country. Someone will write that song because you're there waiting off to the Grey Cup. Well, then you go to Calgary the next week, right, for the Grey Cup after the West Final. You don't have to go there in the final for the semifinal. You can go there for the Grey Cup. What are you – the first game, you were there for the first game, 37-10 Calgary. It's got to go better than that.
Oh, yeah.
It's got – Cody said, hey, that was my worst game. He's come a long way since then.
For sure he has, absolutely. And I think they're just after that. They have something to prove with – something to prove because of that game. The fact that they win, they pretty much have the West Final. Like, I think there's just so many things that they're going to be ready to go on Friday. And I'm thinking, look out.
It's going to be good. We will have it, of course, live across the Cooperative's Rough Rider Radio Network. You'll be watching at home. Well, you'll be listening at home. You'll sync up
the TV
and the broadcast, of course.
It's nice having the time to actually watch, because when I'm down on the sidelines.
Yeah.
I don't get to watch a whole lot. Last game, though, I forget who it was. One of the defensive players for the Riders was chirping with one of the Bomber players, and all you could see him even say it, man, your breath is bad. And he did like the motion of like, man, that is bad. And I just thought that was so good. I've played sports my whole life, and when I hear that, I'm like, self-conscious. Is it really? That guy got in my head. He's in my kitchen now.
I'm not thinking about the route I have to run. I'm only thinking about halitosis. Yeah.
Anyone got That's a amazing. Stick of gum on the sideline? I need that.
That's amazing. Mark's on the afternoons on My92. If you're not listening to us, you should absolutely listen to him. And you should join us tomorrow for the Cage. I am off to Calgary, so Mitchell Blair will be in the hot seat. He will talk with Jim Lang about the NFL. We will, of course, have the latest from the Riders. Craig Button on the NHL, Christina Constable on CFL Fantasy, and, of course, Zinger still sitting proud with his first place, Green Bay Packers. Oh, boy. For Bob Krawczyk, for Zinger, for Mark, I'm DT. Sports Cage on Demand. We've got Pinball. We've got Chris Tormey. We've got everything for the Canadian Brewhouse.